Philippians chapter 1, what we're going to be talking tonight about is training comes first. Before you can get a job as a nurse, you must first go to school to learn how to be a nurse.
Right.
Before you can become a pilot, you must first be trained on how to fly an airplane, at least hopefully.
Yeah.
Before you can get a job as a welder who's welding up that steel bridge that we're going to be crossing, you need to be certified.
Amen.
You got to go through some time to learn how to do what you're doing. And even in God's army, the soldiers have to go through vigorous training. Mm. And here in Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6, Paul says this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it or complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Mm. Let's pray. Father, I do thank you for this passage that you've brought us to tonight, and I pray that you would open our ears and our hearts to receive your message tonight. Lord, I pray that you would help me to relay your message accurately to your people. Mm. Father, there's a lot of need in our church family. A lot of people who are suffering. A lot of people who are in great need in all kinds of different ways. And I pray, Father, that you would help us. Draw us closer to you because of what we learned tonight. And I thank you for that. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Moses was not greatly used of God until he had 40 years of training.
Mm-hmm.
David was anointed as king of Israel when he was 17. But it wasn't until he was around 30 that he actually took the throne. And that was only after severe training.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Joseph was given a dream, also at the age probably of 17 years old, that he would be a great ruler. But again, it was many, many years and after some pretty difficult time until he actually took that throne.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. You and I are no different.
Mm.
Salvation is great. It's the most important decision we'll ever make.
That's right.
It determines whether or not we go to heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. But it's only the beginning. It's not the finish line. It's the starting point.
Amen.
Now there's a lifetime of work for the Holy Spirit to do in us. And the classroom of the Holy Spirit will always involve suffering.
Mm.
Look in verse 29 of this same chapter. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, that's salvation, but then also to suffer for His sake.
Mm.
I don't like suffering. I try to avoid it.
Amen.
When it happens, I try to find a way to keep it from happening again.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I believe that that's how God made us. We should do that. If you keep banging your head against the same corner post, you need to find a way to quit banging your head on that corner post.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But some of the suffering that we deal with is intentional. It's divine.
Mm.
God either orchestrated it or He allowed it.
Mm.
Paul said that in order to know Jesus like we should, we must suffer. Do you think that Paul had a close walk with God?
Yes.
I sure do. But how did he get to that point? The road that he traveled from the time he met Jesus on the Damascus Road until he, we believe, was beheaded, he suffered.
Yeah.
He suffered greatly. He named it in one of the books that he wrote. He went through a long list, and that didn't really cover it all.
Right.
Looking for same chapter, verse 12. He said this, "But I would you should understand, brethren." By the way, he wrote this book while in prison.
Yeah.
"But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened unto me have fallen out, or happened, turned out, rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." What did he say here? He said, you know, hey, y'all don't need to be all upset that I'm in prison. This has actually turned out good.
Mm-hmm.
The gospel has spread to many people because of it. That's a good thing. I think there's something for us to learn right there all by itself. And that is this: even in our difficulty, there is something good that we can find. Find it. In fact, focus on it. Dwell on that more so than the bad. Both are always present. The good and the bad.
Yes, sir.
But he was telling them, look, don't be grieving because of my predicament. I'm fine. I'm okay. I'm good. In fact, the gospel has been spread to many people because of where I'm at.
That's right.
He took the proper perspective of difficult times instead of lashing out at other people. The people that caused him pain. Remember, he was in the prison that one particular time, and that mean jailer, Paul actually had some compassion on his soul, stopped him from committing suicide, gave him the gospel, and he got saved and his old house did.
Amen.
What if Paul had lashed out at him? Like we do many times when
right.
someone has made us suffer.
Right.
I must admit, there's been times that I did the wrong thing there and certainly lost my opportunity to ever share the gospel with that person. Instead, Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to teach him something during the difficult time, and I believe that was to love unconditionally, to forgive, to give people the benefit of the doubt, and even to be understanding towards people who saw things differently than he did. I think a lot of times we tend to let that get under our skin, don't we?
Yeah.
They just don't see it the way we see it. They're weird. By the way, you're weird too, and so am I. We're all weird in our own way.
That's right.
We all have things about us that other people look at and go, what are they thinking?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
But Paul allowed the Holy Spirit to do a work in him before he could do a work through him. And it was a big work. I think that Paul had, just like Moses, just like David, just like Joseph, even Daniel, just like you and I, there's things in our life, there's things in our makeup, there's things in our character, there's things in our mindset that aren't right. They're not pleasing to God. They don't fit in the life of a person who claims to be a follower of Jesus.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit wants to carve those things out of us. Mm. And that hurts. It's painful. We don't want to let go of it.
Yeah.
We don't want to give it up. But that's what has to happen.
Mm.
Remember, Moses, he tried to be the leader of Israel at, I think, 40 years old.
Yeah.
And that backfired. Why? Because there were some things in him that the Holy Spirit needed to carve out.
Mm.
The Bible says, I believe that Moses was an eloquent speaker when he was 40. Jeanette and I were talking about this the other day. I think it was her and I. She told me that if you did a study on shepherds, that's what Moses was, they spend so much time out there in the open field with a bunch of sheep that can't speak English that they literally lose their ability to speak.
Mm.
Largely. Maybe not completely.
Mm.
Maybe God had to get Moses to the point that he finally said to God, I can't speak.
Mm.
I'm slow of lips. I don't know. I stutter. I can't say my words right. I can't speak. He was probably telling the truth, but it wasn't like that when he was 40.
Mm.
Remember, he went to some pretty good schooling.
Yes, he did.
But there were some things in him that God had to change. He had to humble him.
Mm.
You and I need the same. Amen. Before God can use us. So my question to you is this. What difficulties are you dealing with right now? Is it a family member? A co-worker? A physical problem, maybe even a financial problem. How you perceive these problems is monumental. Because it's either going to cause you to allow the Holy Spirit to do what He wants to do, or it's going to cause you to become bitter, blaming other people. God wants to do a mighty work in you more than He wants to do a mighty work through you. Because He can't do the work through you until He does the work in you.
That's good.
When you blame others for the problems that you're dealing with, you're missing the point. So let God take these difficulties and turn them into a work that the Holy Spirit can do in you so that later He can do a mighty work through you. That's how it has to happen. Don't get mad at people. Don't blame them. Yes, they made a mistake. Yes, they did something they shouldn't have done. Yes, it has caused you pain. But if we're going to be a follower of Jesus, then our comment about that is, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do.
Right.
You say, yes, sir, they did, Brother Bruce. They did it on purpose. They had ill motive. Well, so did all those Jews that stood there screaming, crucify him. They knew what they wanted, but they didn't know the depth of what was happening. Those Roman soldiers enjoyed crucifying people, watching them in pain. They knew what they were doing, but they didn't know really what they were doing. They didn't know the depth of it. They didn't know that Satan was involved. And at the same time, God was too. But Jesus' perception on all of it, towards all of them, was this has to happen. They don't really know what they're doing. You're more like Jesus when you can forgive. Remember Stephen, as he was dying because of people stoning him, he said, don't lay this to their charge, Father.
That's right.
Can you do that? Can you have that right spirit towards those people who are causing you some problems? By the way, sometimes that's people on the road.
Yeah.
God's trying to do something in us.
Yes.
And He is using these difficult circumstances to do it. God's not going to make you and I a better follower of Jesus by sending us a big check. Or giving us some other big blessing. That's not how it's going to happen. It's only going to happen through suffering. Paul said that I might know Him in the fellowship of His sufferings. That's how we get to know Jesus. What He's like and how we need to change some things so that we can be just like Him.
Amen.
Let God do a work through you, in you, through the problems that you have in your life right now. Let's pray. Father, I thank You for Your Word. Lord, it's not easy to go through the suffering that we suffer. But Lord, it is necessary, and we know that, and we thank You for it. And so, Father, I pray that You would help us to see what it is that You're trying to do in us as You carve away the things that don't belong and make us more like Jesus. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Let's stand, turn 489.